Well, I want to come back to a teaching on the cross. We don't go very long with the deeper life until we come back to some teaching with regard to the cross. And there's always something to learn more because, of course, we know it is the central theme. It is the gospel. There can be no gospel, good news, if it were not for the cross. And we're going to call our teaching today, Do You Have Faith in the Resurrection Power of Our Cross? Do you have faith in the resurrection power of our cross? I don't think Jesus would have gone to the cross had he not believed that God was going to raise him, that the resurrection would be the result of his sacrifice. We, of course, always look at it to the fact that he went to the cross to atone for our sin and to give us a new life in Christ. But there is more to it when we look in the scriptures and we look at how the cross presents itself even to Jesus and how he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and there he had to sweat it out. And believe me, he did, in which to win that victory. Of course, what we see with regard to the cross is in Jesus's flesh as man. And he went through the experience of the cross that we will never go through. But he does tell us to take up our cross also and to follow him in likeness. And of course, his cross was indeed to redeem us, to atone for our sin. But also, he believed that he would be raised up in glory, the new man, the new humanity, going forth, preparing for eternity. So there were a number of factors involved with Christ going to the cross. But we're going to look at our cross that we take up daily and follow. There are a number of scriptures in the Gospels that speak about our cross that we are to take up daily and follow the Lord. It's recorded a number of times. Therefore, it is very important and there is a reason for it. And we're going to look at the cross in the Gospels. We're going to look at each of them so that we can just glean how important this message is and yet is the least understood and is not preached very often. And I wonder why. You see, the enemy will always attack where the Christian's power lies. And wish to God more Christians' eyes were open. You see, a lot of Christians equate the power of God in a number of ways, but you will never hear it equated by the cross and the cross that they are to take up also. You will never hear the power of God referred to that. And of course, we have these huge meetings, these rally meetings and so forth, and oh, the anointing, the power of God was electric. That's what you hear. And yet they have little understanding where really this true power comes. Again, Jesus would not have gone to the cross if he did not know that the power of the Spirit of God would raise him up. One of the most unique things, miracles that happened. So let us look then at some of these scriptures, and we'll start, of course, with Matthew's account in Matthew 16, 24 to 26, all really saying the same thing. Matthew 16, 24 to 26, then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it if to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." So we see then that the cross we are to take up that deals with the self-life is also connected with rewards, works as well. Because we allow our will, our selfish will, in which to be crucified, in which the will of God can be fulfilled through us. This, of course, is fulfilling Romans 8, walking in the Spirit. And this is how it's done. We couple that also with Mark's account. And we find in the book of Mark, chapter 8, verses 34 to 38 of Mark, chapter 8, 34 to 38, again, the same account, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples, also he said to them. So he also had the multitude following him as well. And he turns to them, "Whosoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, for the gospels, will save it. For what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" And then he goes on, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in glory of his Father and with his holy angels." So there we see Mark's account again of what Jesus gives to the multitude and the disciples that follow him. And in each of them, it's about the denial of self, the giving up, the losing of your life. It's a surrender over to God, a giving up. And the only thing that can deal with that, as we can see, is the cross. We then come to Luke's account with regard to the cross. And turn with me now, if you will, to Luke 9 and verses 23 to 26. Luke 9 and verses 23 to 26. And he says here, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests, scribes, and killed, and raised up the third day. And he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself destroys or is lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words and of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and in his Father's and of his holy angels.'" So in this account, he gives them an indication that he must go to his cross and will be raised the third day. Now, he's not only using the cross as an analogy because of he's going to it, but he's also using the cross to these people that are following, because probably the cross was the worst form of execution. The scum, the vilest offenders were crucified. It was the most undignified execution. And so he's making the biggest impact to them, which they're all probably aware, they knew of these executions that these Romans were doing, to make a point. He used the worst form of execution in which to deal with the self-life, the heart, of which we so easily deceive ourselves. So that is the first thing that he is impressing strongly. And he's not only saying you take up your cross also, he's going to go to his cross. So he is practicing what he's preaching. He too is going to take up his cross. And they will see the power in the cross. At the moment, this is teaching. At the moment, he's describing something to them. And they haven't yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit comes to recreate what Jesus says to us. I think we don't always appreciate when we read the Word, when we read the Gospels, when we read what Jesus says, that the Holy Spirit comes to recreate that in our lives. This is why he said, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, I will come back to you. He will come back. He will come back as our teacher. He will come back as the power of God to enable us to go through the experiences that he went through as well, but doing it spiritually. We tend to forget that that is what he does and will do. You see, so much today in preaching and teaching is all what Jesus has done. He's gone to the cross and everything, and of course, rightly so. But they avoid these teachings because they know that you empty churches when you start preaching this. And money gets in the way. Their funding, their collections will start to reduce. And very often that is the motive that is behind it. So it's easier not to rock the boat. And a lot of that goes on. But Jesus is speaking to his disciples and any amongst the crowd who also becomes disciples. Because it's disciples who will listen. It's disciples, they're the ones who will take up their cross. Most of the people listening don't do it. And we can see that. We can see it today. You can see it in your churches. You can see it in Christendom. You can see it online here. We see it almost every time. You get a few come in. How long do they stay? Some of them 10 seconds. Some of them 20 minutes. A few stay right through to the end. Oh, I was so blessed. When's your next meeting? In which to see they don't turn up. Does it all sound familiar? Of course it does. We're seeing it before our eyes every week. We're seeing what the sword of the Spirit is doing, even in this little meeting. Most of them don't want to hear. And that is why you have to be of the Spirit, born again, made new, with the life of Christ being created in us. But we're seeing it every week in this room, and we've seen it for years and years. Some stay with us, some for a while, and you don't see them anymore, because they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to draw them. They're not allowing the cross to work in their lives, in which they are faithful, committed, who will endure to the end. That is what the cross works on. Jesus said, didn't he, in Matthew 24, those who endure to the end will be saved. You can only endure to the end if you are taking your cross up daily and following the Lord. It ain't going to work. And we've seen this, and sadly we will see it, and it can break your heart. But it is those who endure to the end will be saved. I was only counselling the other day a pastor online who shared, he said, I seem to lose so many. I said, you must be getting something right. And I shared my experiences. And I said, the word does divide. And I was able to help and encourage him. And he's not the only one. There are a few others who have teaching ministries, and they're saying how they're losing people. And you encourage them to say, well, praise God. That is the sword of the Spirit that's doing the work. And then I encourage them, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting the gospel, they're rejecting Christ in you. Jesus said, if they hate me in the world, they will hate you. And this is where we can encourage. But this is what it does. And so we see, coming back to this, this is part of Jesus' teaching. And sadly, it is the least understood. You see, Jesus wouldn't have gone to the cross if it didn't have to end in the result that it did. And nor would we. We don't have to go to the cross. There's no point going to the cross if it's not going to produce the results. Because Jesus wouldn't have even done that. No, we do it because he tells us to do it. What will come from it? And that's the point. Always hold on that with the cross, through death, comes resurrection. That's the hope. That's the vision. That is what we look for. And that is what faith believes and confesses. If all you are ever going to see about the cross, oh, I better take my cross up. Oh, I better die to this. And oh, yes, I've got to die to that. Don't bother. Of course it's real. Don't get me wrong. But you must always have a vision with the cross, and that is the resurrection, the end result of what the cross is doing in my life, dealing with my self-life, that selfish area of me, where the two wills are in conflict, God's will and my will. Only the cross deals with that, because we're willful beings. And the cross is always making it into the kingdom of God. It's instrumental. That is why God presents the cross in the body. When you've got the cross in the body in an assembly, you've got that open door preaching the kingdom of God. Well, let's look at some areas then with this. Firstly, the cross puts an end to self lusting for the things of the world. That is one of the first things it will do. It's going to crucify your lusting, your depending on the world and its provisions. It's going to separate you from that. The same as the victims were hung up there, same as Christ was separated from the world, so the Holy Spirit is going to recreate in your heart, in your circumstances, a separation from the world, and he's going to deal with the self and that lusting after those things, that idolatry. It has to be nailed to the cross, put to death. That is the first thing he's going to do. Otherwise, you are divided. You'll be putting God first for a while, then the world for a while, then God, then the world, up and down, wavering. Just being tossed to and fro. And that's what you see so often, because they've not allowed or resisted the cross in which to separate me, to get the world lusting after it out of my heart. And of course, this is what God was doing with the children of Israel. It took them 40 years. God was trying to work that. And that's why he gave them up. He gave them up on that principle. They wanted Egypt. They were prepared to go back to slavery, bondage. That's what their hearts revealed. And so we know God gave them up and let them have it. And this is what God will do if you're not willing to allow the cross to deal with this fundamental issue. And you have to seek God on it. You cannot, you know, be in denial. You cannot just say, oh, well, I'll deal with this in a month's time when I feel better or whatever. No, we have to deal with this. And we have to allow. And we have to stop fighting when the Holy Spirit requires us to yield to the work of the cross. As I've said so many times, it's not a doing, it's a yielding. And in that yielding, the Holy Spirit will do the rest. You can't do it, but he can, because he has triumphed, he's risen, he's overcome all things. And so as you yield over, as you give it over to him, when you're honest before him, Lord, I'm still lusting for things of the world. My heart still looks to it, depends too much on it. Okay, if that's what you want, that's your prayer before him, then the Holy Spirit will start the crucifixion, that work of delivering you. And for a while, it can be painful. It can be painful. But you will remember what you asked for. And so you'll be able to keep there, because I've asked the Lord to do this. And in time, when death takes over, the resurrection will work in and through me. And there is your deliverance, your change of heart and attitude, no longer holding you, tempting you, getting you to lust after things, that idolatry. It's done its work. Praise God. And the second area, the cross won't let you lose or sell your soul. Isn't that wonderful? We know that on one side of the coin we are saved, and on the other side of the coin we're being saved. And that is our work of faith. But if you have the cross in your life, that is a clear indication you will not lose or sell your soul. And you will know that by your walk, by your commitments, by the way you are growing spiritually, and how the Lord is using you, and so on. These will be clear signs. In other words, you become fruitful. And it continues to increase and grow. They are some of the signs of what the cross is doing in your life, which you take up daily and follow. And thirdly, we take up our cross for Jesus and the sake of the gospel. So that is another reason why I take my cross up daily. I do it unto him, because that is what he has asked, and I do it for the sake of the gospel. It's preaching, it's teaching. So there is another reason why we take up our cross. Maybe some of you have never thought about that. We've always thought about things of the self or the self-life, or where our hearts are still lusting in the world, but we've never probably thought that we take up our cross because Jesus said that's what you do. And if you love him, you don't question it, because he never gets it wrong. And in time, you will see why he wants you to take it up, because it's about him. It's about the gospel. And anyone who has the cross in their life is blessed, anointed with the word of God. And they are able to share the word of God as the Spirit leads and guides. And to share the love of Jesus Christ. It's coming from the work of the cross in your life. And this is why some of you don't talk much about the Lord. Not much in your conversation. Because the cross isn't doing that work. When it is, that's all you want to talk about. You're not really that interested in anything else. Of course, we talk with our families or those that are not saved. But really, the blessing is when we can talk about the Lord and share about the word and the things that the Holy Spirit is doing. That's what we love and want to share and talk about. They're clear signs of the cross doing its work in your life. And fourthly, the cross causes us not to be ashamed of Jesus and his word. In other words, it gives us a boldness, and we are prepared and ready to share our faith if asked, and to not hold back, whatever the consequences, whatever they might say or do. We are ready to share this good news of the love of Jesus Christ, and that we're not ashamed to expose the sin and rebellion that is in this world, and that so many, sadly, are going to hell, and there is a place, and many will go there. We should not be ashamed to speak these things. They may not like it. They may tell you that's not politically correct these days, but that doesn't matter. We're not into that woke ideology. We're into God's word, his message, because there is a remnant who will hear. Well, again, these are clear signs how the cross is doing its work in your life. And fifthly, the cross will preserve a remnant the overcomers for Jesus' appearance. Did you know the bride to make herself ready? Part of her making herself ready is her cross that she takes up daily and follows the Lord. It will not be achieved otherwise. And this cross that we take up has a preservation upon us. It preserves us. It protects us. It keeps us. The same as death couldn't hold Jesus, so it won't hold us. There's the preservation. There's the victory, the power of the cross that works in and through us, you see. And this is how a remnant is preserved in these last days. This remnant around the world that is preserved has a revelation, an understanding of the cross that they're taking up daily and following the Lord. I think we're beginning to see that there is a lot more to the cross than what we thought. And as Jesus said with regard to the cross in verse 27 of Luke 9, verse 27, "But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God." And there you are. Look what Jesus said. There's a promise. There's a confession. There's a sign that we shall see the kingdom of God. We won't taste of death. There will be a group who will mature and come to that place. Hallelujah. See, the Lord's always faithful, is he not? Of course, the disciples, they were there. They saw him taken up into glory. They received, of course, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They seen him risen. So they were experiencing some of what Jesus was saying here in verse 27. How much more the last remnant that is left when the Lord comes. And boy, we're getting near. We really are. We only have to listen to the news. If any of you have heard this evening, Israel's under real bombing now. Missiles coming in. We're on the verge of a World War III. Gog Magog in Ezekiel. Right on the brink. And most Christians are asleep. It's time to wake up. That extra vessel of oil is essential now for us to keep our vessels filled with the oil of anointing. Hallelujah. And that's why we need to be in the faith for the cross, for our lives. And this is why we teach faith, because faith isn't just about your healing or your blessings or whatever it is. Faith is also that you believe in the cross. You believe that it's doing its work. You trust the Lord. That's why we need faith for everything in the Word of God. We don't just select faith for certain things. It is for everything, including the cross I take up daily and follow the Lord. We've so reduced faith, and it's not wrong, into getting healed or my new home or my job or the salvation of our loved ones, and all of that has its place. But faith is required also for the deeper life, for the way of the cross, and to do its work and to make it into the kingdom of God. You see, there are people today who don't have that faith in the cross, because they don't see it, they don't experience it. They may know it theologically, but they don't actually know of the self-life being dealt with by the Spirit, nailing it to our cross. That is an experience. And it comes as you believe, as you have faith in the Word of God. Otherwise, it's there, but most of it interpret it as their trials. That's your cross that you bear. They're the trials that you go through. That's what you generally will hear today with regard to the cross. It's not at all. It's a deliberate giving up of self, the denial of self. That is what the cross is. It's a surrender. You might have your trials and your testings. We do. That's all part of a fallen world, but that is not what the cross is. And I have to correct this online with a lot of Christians where they've been taught that way. And when I start to teach them that it is a deliberate giving up of the self-life, they all go quiet on you. Don't want to talk about it anymore. But there we are, God has got a remnant who will. And he says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, as it says in John 10. Well, finally, let's look at 2 Timothy 3:6 to 8. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 6 to 8. For of this sort are those who creep into houses and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away with various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is a huge problem. You've got people who will go to church on Sunday. Outwardly, they look committed, but they never are able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're fickled. They're confused, because verse 6 shows what happens. They're going around listening to this minister, that minister. They go from this church to another church. They're all the while not settled because they're not experiencing the truth. When you start to experience the truth, wherever God is giving it, you find there's nowhere else to go. That is what you're receiving. And I myself soon learned that one when I started to hear the deeper life teaching, the faith walk, discipleship. I knew that was the truth. And it's no good looking anywhere else, because God hasn't made a mistake. And he doesn't. And what have we done to deserve that? Nothing. But he has given us the sensitivity. He's given us the spirit to be able to know when the truth is being proclaimed. Why? Because he said, my sheep hear my voice. That's why. So it's not just a word, a letter. It is knowing the voice who spoke it, the author. It's relationship with him, you see. And that makes a world of a difference. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. Everything is by revelation revealed to us. And he illumines our minds in which to understand it, that we know it's the truth. And Jesus said, if you know the truth, then the truth will set you free.